Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, a radio.com station.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Daily. 1 hour in the books. Programming reminder on Sunday for the AFC Championship game. We will have over on KNSS, our home of the Chiefs, 1330 and 98.7. We will have a pregame show with Mitch and the boys and Danny this Sunday from 4 to 5.30 leading up to the National Westwood One coverage of the Chiefs game. Then there will also be postgame coverage from them after the game, also on KNSS. So just a reminder that on KFH and KNSS, both those, a mega cast, if you will have the Chiefs and the Patriots. Speaking of, we'll bring back Dan Israel from the Chiefs Radio Network after Kansas City dispatched of the Colts 31-13. Dan, that probably couldn't have gone much better. That couldn't have been more of a rocking chair game for Kansas City fans that were biting off their fingernails beforehand, right? Dan, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now. How about the way Kansas City handled the Colts basically from start to finish?
Yeah, what a fantastic game that was. It was really refreshing to see just how good this team is when they don't make mistakes. And you saw them play a fair Colts team. I don't want to make the Colts out to seem like they were everything the national pundits were saying about them, because they weren't that good. But I do think they were capable of beating a team that wasn't on their game, but the Chiefs were, and I just thought it was amazing to see what the defense could actually do, holding the Colts holding Andrew Luck to just 13 points. Pretty impressive outing.
What was it, four straight three and outs to start the game, Dan? And meanwhile, Kansas City went touchdown, touchdown, field goal. What was the difference? What did you see from the Chiefs' defense that just totally stifled the Colts, especially in the first, I don't know, half, really?
There are really two main differences on the defense. Well, and I will say this, the Chiefs defense all year long has sent, for whatever reason, the fans energize them to a level. They play much better in Arrowhead Stadium. They hold opposing teams to about half the points they do on the road. But in particular, I thought the two things that they just did an outstanding job on was they were able to pressure Andrew Luck. Bob Sutton, very creative in some of the stunts and schemes that he employed to get pressure on Andrew Luck from both Dee Ford, Justin Houston, and Chris Jones. I mean, you know, you're used to edge rushers going after your quarterback. You're not used to guys coming right over the center to try to get to them. So I think it's pretty impressive with Chris Jones up there in that long wingspan. Even when he can't get to Andrew Luck, he can bat down those passes. So I think that was a big factor. And the other was the lack of penalties in the secondary. Mm-hmm. We have been penalized more than any other team in the National Football League in the secondary, and a lot of those penalties resulted in first downs. And so you've got a team almost off the field. You've got your opponent almost off the field, and you give them a silly defensive holding penalty. It gives them a first down and four more shots to move down the field or even get in the end zone. So I think the lack of those penalties made a huge difference. I think the first penalty for the defense came very late in the game, very late in the fourth quarter. And so really refreshing to see those two things. All in all, 0-for-9. Third down conversion for the Colts. I'm not sure I can remember a playoff game where there was 0-for-9 in third down conversion. You prevent any team from converting on the third down that many times, in my opinion, you should win a football game.
Yeah, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. The Chiefs beat the Colts 31-13. They'll take on the Patriots coming up this Sunday night in a very frigid Arrowhead Stadium. We'll get to that in a little bit. I want to get back to your comment about the lack of penalties and the way almost everything went right for the Chiefs. Not to say they were lucky, and you make your own breaks in the NFL, but not much went wrong. There wasn't much adversity for the Chiefs against the Colts. How much of it do you think, Dan, has to do with, to your point, the penalties that, for example, in that Rams game, where I think they had 7 or 8 or something in the first half or in the first quarter alone, and yet the Chiefs didn't have any the other day. How much of that comes down to communication and actually being able to communicate with each other, being able to hear each other?
Well, it's interesting you make that point, because I was on a show with John McGraw last night, former safety for the Chiefs, and he made the point that it really does take time to learn how to play defense with a lead. He said they have been playing with a lead all year long, and it's a different mindset. You're used to playing just a few plays like that, where you get to the end of the game, say late in the fourth quarter, and you've got a lead, and all of a sudden you play into that bend and don't break kind of, not prevent, but bend and don't break defense, where you're really allowing a team to move down the field, but forcing them to spend time doing it. He said it's very different thing to play 3.5 quarters of that. And that's really what the Chiefs defense has had to do, where, you know, they get ahead. As you said, they had, you know, they go 3 straight possessions, they score. Suddenly you've got a pretty big lead on a team, and it's not even, you know, the first quarter hasn't expired. So the Chiefs defense has had to learn to play with that lead, and that is a different mentality. That takes a different set of communication. And I just think they're getting better with that. I think also the Chargers loss changed this team. And while you can never, you know, the moral victory of a loss is pretty hard to sell in a locker room, for those of us on the outside, I'm telling you, the Chargers loss taught this team that they had to change their defensive scheme. And they made some change at players, in particular Orlando Scandrick. And Charvarius Ward is making a difference. He is playing corner like I don't think we've quite expected or seen this year. And he's relatively penalty-free. He did get the penalty on the Colts game late in the game, but it was really kind of a, you know, stop it or it's going to go in the end zone. So I give him that one. I'd rather have the first down pass interference penalty than touchdown. So I feel like he's playing much, much better than Orlando Scandrick did. And that's just an unfortunate fact. But, you know, for the Chiefs and Chiefs fans, that's a good thing.
Damian Williams goes for 129 yards and a touchdown. And you talk about the beat goes on with the Chiefs at running back. Does that maybe, I don't want to say, take away from what Kareem Hunt did last year and when in his time with Kansas City, but does that diminish the real importance of a first string running back as opposed to the second string running back? Because Damian Williams certainly hasn't missed a beat at all.
You know, in my opinion, yes, it's been a rough year for the running back position. You know, Le'Veon Bell holds out, says he's going to demonstrate to the league that position should be paid more than it is, that it's worth much more. He's going to become one of the highest paid running backs ever to be in the game. And then his replacement, a guy that we didn't even know his name before, and James Conner, comes out and has a, you know, almost a record-setting year for most of the year before he got injured at the end of that year. So I think, you know, absolutely. I mean, you have to question that. You have to say, was it the scheme that the Chiefs run that allows some of these yards? I do think Kareem Hunt was a tough runner. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was a good running back in the National Football League. But it to some degree, there are a lot of those guys. And, you know, I think I might have mentioned to you guys on earlier weeks that when we were at training camp, I got told by several members of the Chiefs organization that Damian Williams was the most talented athlete on that team. And at the time, it really struck me odd, because we have Tyreek Hill, we have Patrick Mahomes, we have Travis Kelce. These are some impressive athletes, but he is really showing that. And I think it's an interesting dichotomy as well, in that they were best friends. To get your chance at your best friend's peril, that's a tough thing to swallow mentally and personally, but he has made the most of it. And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't look like it doesn't look like our running game is missing a stride, not after that Colts game.
Right about that. 180 yards overall, Kansas City rushing. Talking to Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, a little Chiefs chat as Kansas City takes on New England coming up this weekend. Again, a reminder, over on KNSS 1330 and 98.7, home of the Chiefs. Pregame show will air this Sunday from 4 to 5.30, leading up to the Westwood One coverage of the Chiefs game down here in Wichita. There will also be postgame coverage from them after the game, so we'll be listening to KNSS for that. Just a few minutes ago on Twitter, it was announced, Dan, that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has been activated from the injured reserve and Ron Parker has been waived. Surprise there?
No, not at all. In fact, I'd love to be more excited about LDT coming back, but really what this is if they were going to use them, they had to activate him. So I'm not sure he'll make it back this week, but I really think this is a play to maybe say, hey, we may need him in the Super Bowl, and if so, we want him on the team. You're forced with the way that IR available to return list works. After he's been cleared from this, you get so many weeks to get him back into practice, and then if he is able to go, you activate him. If he's not able to go, you got to put him on the permanent IR, and you can't use him the rest of the year. So I really think this is about that time expiring. We kind of expected them to activate him this week because of that expiry date, and doesn't necessarily mean you'll see him in the game Sunday, although like I said, the nice thing about bone breaks is they tend to progress in a very linear fashion, a very expected fashion, where soft tissue can regress. Bone breaks continue to heal just day after day after day. So I guess it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play, but I kind of expect that he won't, and we'll be saving him for a possible Super Bowl.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Chat from the Chiefs Radio Network. Wasn't it nice to see Sammy Watkins back out there again? 6 for 62 and just another weapon for the other guys to have to worry about.
You have, absolutely, man. I think that was one of the highlights of the game for me because, you know, the toughness that it takes to play in the National Football League and to play hurt at the end of a year, to play with pain or what have you is – all players go through this, and Sammy Watkins wasn't going to be held out of this game. And he not only got himself into this game, but he, I thought, was effective. And it really makes it an element for the Chiefs offense that makes defenses have to defend. You can no longer just triple team Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill because you've got this variation, this variety of options there where now you've even got a little bit of Damian Williams catching balls out of the backfield. It's an awful lot to add a receiver that's as physical as Sammy Watkins that can high point the ball as well as Sammy Watkins. And it was good to see him out there. I'll tell you, I think part of it was his alma mater winning a national championship. There was no way you were going to keep him out of these playoff games because he wants to win a Super Bowl in the same year. But it was good to see him out there, and it was good to see him effective.
Who is going to guard Julian Edelman in the slot? Is that Kendall Fuller?
I'll tell you right now, if I have to go down there and help, I will, because that guy scares me.
Yeah.
He scares me, guys. He's one of those consummate football players. I'm not too afraid of Ron Gronkowski at this point. I feel like, you know, even though he's been able to put teams on his back and carry them in previous years, I'm not sure that's the Rob Gronkowski that will come to Arrowhead on Sunday. Julian Edelman, on the other hand, he's that sneaky kind of Wes Welker. And Bill Belichick uses that slot receiver so incredibly well. And these guys fight for yards. They catch balls that you think are uncatchable. And I just feel like he is somebody, somebody's got to spy him. I don't know what Bob Sutton's answer is going to be there, but I hope somebody is because I'd love it to be Eric Berry. I don't know that that will happen, but
yeah.
He is definitely a threat, in my opinion. In fact, he may be the biggest threat. The combination of him and Tom Brady, to me, are really probably a bigger threat than Sony Michel because I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to get up on us where they can just run the ball.
Yeah,
I think they're it's going to be a shootout, and so the running game doesn't scare me quite as much as what Julian Edelman can do because he can just score or he can get yards on you so quickly.
Well, that was one thing that Rob Gronkowski certainly concentrated on. That was being a road grader in the running game against the Chargers. He pretty much paved the way for Sony Michel to have three rushing touchdowns. Of course, they got up in the game and were able to do whatever they wanted to, and most of that had to do with running the ball with Sony Michel the rest of the way. Chiefs take on the Patriots coming up this Sunday at 5:30. Game you can hear either here on KFH or on KNSS, both under our intercom umbrella here in Wichita. We're glad to be joined by Dan Israel. A little Chiefs chat. Chiefs beat the Colts 31-13. Before we close the book on the Colts, this is a team with just an unbelievable amount of cap space. I think they have over $100 million in money to spend next year. They've already gotten their quarterback, obviously. How many pieces away do you think, Dan, they are from really making noise in the AFC and maybe, I don't want to say supplanting New England because you never know when that's going to happen, but for the Colts to consistently contend for playoff spots for 10 years in a row, are they that far away from that? Because I don't think they are.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, one of the things, we know Chris Ballard very well. Chris was here mm-hmm. for a lot of years, and now he's the GM in charge of the Colts. And I really think he's about 3, maybe 4 years behind. I would have said 5 or 6 years, but I really feel like they've progressed. He stumbled into, let's face it, he stumbled into Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted Josh McDaniel, who McDaniel kind of left him at the altar, and he kind of stumbled into Frank Reich, but he's been able, Chris Ballard's been able to roll that culture. Frank Reich's been able to kind of buy into that and sell that culture. And I think they're really maybe two years ahead of their plan. I think you're going to see in the next year or two that they're going to be a formidable team. I think that Andrew Luck is the real deal. And when they start getting the pieces around him and they start building this thing from the ground up like they've been trying to do exactly in Indianapolis what he did when he was a part of the scouting team here in Kansas City, I think they're just a few years away from really being contending, perennial contenders. I hope that, you know, the team that supplants New England, I hope, is us.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like, you know, we've got that wherewithal. And it would be nice, guys, because the thing about New England, they are just in this ponderously bad division. I mean, they literally start every season 6-0 because they're going to beat everybody in their division. I know they lost to the Dolphins, and that's their nemesis, and you can count on one game. So we'll give them 5-0 because the other five games in their division are just gimmies. And it's really frustrating that they get that first-round bye every year because they're able to it's just such a weak division. But you know, the NFC that are the AFC North and South are a little bit in that as well. So I think the Colts are going to take charge here. I think you're going to see them emerge as the next leader.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, you had a really good feeling going into that Colts game, and it came to pass. It was an easy time of it if you were a Chiefs fan. How similar are those feelings going into this weekend against New England?
Man, I wish I could say they were the same. I do think that New England is a different team on the road than they are at home in Gillette. Foxborough is just, you know, it's their sanctuary, and they play incredibly well there. They are half the team when they go on the road. And likewise, the Chiefs defense plays much better in Arrowhead Stadium. So I still like the Chiefs' chances, but this is going to be a much tougher game. This one's going to be for real. What I like about this, guys, is if they make it to the Super Bowl, they can truly say, this is not a gimme. This is not a fluke. This was not luck. We did the best to get there, and they did it the way they should. And so, you know, if the Chiefs and the Knights play in the Super Bowl, they're going to belong there, and they should feel good about whatever chances they have against the Saints and the Rams, because it's not going to be an easy route getting through New England, or getting over New England, even through Kansas City. So, but I do think they are a better team. I do think they're more talented. I think they're more versatile. I think really the coaching challenge of Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid probably is one of the more interesting dynamics of this, because these are two of the most creative coaches. Belichick will pull out something. You know, he's coming to town and he's going to do something, but so will we. So
yep.
Should be an exciting game.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. Hopefully we'll be talking a week from today, getting set for the Super Bowl. Wouldn't we all be on our heads over that? We'll be listening this weekend, Dan. Go get them.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. Chiefs and the Patriots coming up this weekend. Again, a programming reminder, Westwood One will have the game and games for the Chiefs from here on out. But on KNSS 1330 and 98.7, the pregame show will be Mitch and the boys and Danny on air from 4 to 5.30, plus postgame coverage as well on KNSS. Westwood One will have the coverage here on KFH and KNSS, the actual game when it comes to that. Speaking of the Patriots, Tom Brady obviously reaches conference championships at a high rate. He will have reached the 13th conference championship in his 17 completed seasons. That's 76.5% of the time. Brady's been more likely to reach the conference championship than the following things. The 2018 Boston Red Sox winning a home game. They only did that 70.4% of the time. Any qualified NFL quarterback in history to complete a pass in any season. Drew Brees has that high water mark at 74.4. Brady going to the conference championship game happens 76.5% of the time, so he's even more reliable than that. The average 2018 Major League Baseball pitcher will throw a strike. Brady's more reliable getting to the title game. And the average 2018 Major League Baseball pitcher to throw a strike on a 3-0 pitch. Brady gets to the title game even more often than that. It ought to be great. The Chiefs will take on the Patriots to go to Super Bowl 53 coming up this weekend. A game you can hear over on KNSS right here on KFH. We'll move up on this day in sports history, brought to you by Superior Rents. Then we'll get to Jessica Kleinschmidt on the Kyler Murray watch coming up at 10:45. Stay there. Sports Daily continues.
Bruce. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.